May the peace of God be the portion of each heart this morning. I've been blessed. Felt the presence of the Lord this morning and kind of a real blessing, a privilege to be here. I really appreciate Brother Carl and Brother Nathan went to Bolivia. And it's interesting that the churches they related to there are churches that we also relate to. In fact, for a number of years, we had leaders get-togethers every 3-4 months. The statement was made here this morning that the devil wants to hijack the works of God. And there are times the devil gets into places we wonder how he ever got there. Probably we've all been through experiences that we look back and say, how did he get there? But he does. And our only hope and our only help is from God. And to me, it's amazing how God in His mercy, His patience, reaches down out of the ashes, makes something beautiful again. Only God can do it, and only we can say, yes, Lord, go ahead and do it. God bless you all here as a congregation, as you keep reaching out and letting God use you. Going out to every nation. It means just that. It also means just where you are, where I am. God is at work. It's just amazing. I don't understand all of God's ways by any means. Just driving up here from Georgia the other day, my wife and I stopped at a McDonald's to get a little bite to eat. This fellow walked up to me and he said, hey, he said, this is strange coincidence. But he said, this morning we ate at the same Days Inn breakfast bar. You grabbled with the same waffle maker that I was grabbling with. And he said, we bought gas at the same gas station another 100, 150 miles up the road. And now here we are at the same McDonald's, third place, 3 in a row. It's coincident. I don't understand it. I said, my, I wonder what God has in this. Well, he didn't want to really talk about that. He said, well, it's quite a coincidence. He turned to the left. But I can't help but believe God had something all. This was a God thing. It wasn't just a coincidence. And God wants you and I to be His witnesses. His testifying of Him. Wherever we go. Wherever we are. Take that message to every nation. And hey, by the way. Do you want your children to be really ready to go? You want them to be missionaries? You want them to go into those places like we heard this morning, those weird places? Those places where, don't know. Do you want your grandchildren to tell you what kind of grub is good to eat? I have some grandchildren to tell me which ones are. You say, wow. If you want your children to be missionaries, I'm going to drop just a little something with you that my daddy used to tell us years ago. He said, the more affluent a family lives, the less prepared their children are to be true missionaries. You can take that and you can just digest it a while. You want your child to be a missionary? Be careful how you live. Be careful what affluence is doing to you. Well, this morning, We want our minds to. I believe our minds have been on Jesus, and we want to keep those minds on Jesus. We want Jesus to be lifted up. We want to have more of Him. Amen? Let's stand together and sing that. I want more of Jesus. I don't know how many of you remember that. I think when I was here a few years back, is when I first shared that song. Wasn't many that knew it. Maybe you know it. Maybe you remember it. Maybe you don't. But I want more of Jesus, more and more and more. I want more of Jesus than I've ever had before. More and more of His great love, rich and full and free. I want more of Jesus, so I'll give Him more of me. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. And this morning, we want to see more of Jesus. We want to grow in Him. We live in a rather complicated world, don't we? A world that's getting more complicated, especially for old people. All the technology and everything, it gets pretty complicating. And tend to be a bit boggled with it at times. In fact, coming up on Route 222 this morning, got to the effort to exit it, and that really complicated me a bit there, the way they were running that traffic. Wow. Never seen this one. Complicated world. Control world. Isn't it just a blessing? When we look at the message of God in the Bible, and see how God relates to man, what God is offering and what God is calling us to. Isn't it wonderful to know that God doesn't change and He's not complicated? He just doesn't deal with us in a complicated way. God is so great and so mighty that what it takes us chapters and books to try to explain God in two or three words just says it. He's not complicated. And the way of Jesus, the Christ way, the Jesus way, isn't a complicated way. In simplicity, it's laid out. It's not complicated. God isn't, but He's complete. He has a complete way, but He's not complicated. And all the message of the Scriptures is not complicated, but it's very complete. Very complete, and deals with us in that way. When you read the teachings of Jesus, it's not really hard to understand what Jesus is saying, is it? Just notice with me in the book of Matthew chapter 5. Book of Matthew chapter 5. Jesus says, 5:21, you've heard it said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill. Whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you, now listen to what Jesus is saying. Is it complicated? That whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. Is that hard to understand? No. Verse 27 and 28, you've heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Pretty simple, isn't it? But very profound, very deep. Verse 34, but I say unto you, swear not at all. 39, but I say unto you that you resist not evil. But whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. Verse 44, but I say unto you, love your enemies. Chapter 6, verse 5, when you pray, be not as the hypocrites. And on and on and on and on the teachings of Jesus go. Hard to understand, difficult, complicated? No. But very profound, very deep, very real. We hear people talk about, oh, well, the Bible is, everybody interprets it differently. I want to tell you, the Bible isn't for you and I to interpret. It's for us to receive. And when we just receive it like a little child, and that's the way Jesus gave it, that's the way God gives it, that it can be received as a little child with just faith in our blessed Father in heaven and apply it to life, everything becomes a lot more simple. Everything becomes more simple. When I try to interpret the Bible, generally it's always because I want the Bible to fit my life. But you know what? God wants my life to fit the Bible. And when we receive the Bible as a little child, then our lives begin to fit the Bible. Not try to make the Bible fit what I want to believe and what I want to think, what I want to do, and so and so and so. God isn't complicated. It's us that complicates the matter. Jesus comes with a simple message. So simple that the children could understand it. I believe that's why the children were out there with Jesus. You know, when Jesus needed the lunch, where did he go? Now, he didn't send a bunch of disciples off to try to round it up. Here's a little lad with a little lunch. And he gave it over to Jesus. Jesus with that did wonderful things, marvelous things, things that met the needs of thousands. Hey, by the way, Jesus wants to use your life to bless others too. He wants our lives to be the blessing. We so many times are bogged down with our own little issues, the things that just are all around me. And we get all wrapped around ourselves. We get all stressed out. Just take a break. Look at your neighbors. You find someone in need. You start reaching out to them. Start focusing on their needs instead of me. Something happens. And that's God's plan. Well, Jesus has a simple message so that we can understand His will. He wants us to understand His will. When Jesus is talking to Peter in John 21, He asked Peter the question, you know, do you love me, Peter? Do you really love me? He asked him three times. Perhaps it was because Peter had denied Him three times. Scripture doesn't really say, but he asked him three times, do you love me? Peter said, well, sure. Lord, you know I do. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Second time he said, feed my sheep. Third time he said, feed my sheep. Why did he say sheep? What was he telling Peter? He was going to use Peter, but he had a message for Peter. And it's a message for us. Keep the trough down where the sheep can eat. He didn't say feed my giraffes. You know, sometimes when we are teaching, we want to impress people with the big words we have and with how much we know, and we have the trough way up here. And the lambs can't eat, the sheep can't eat, the trough's too high. He said, you feed lambs, you feed sheep. Let's always keep that in mind. We're feeding sheep, we're feeding lambs. We ourselves are little. We need simple message for needy people, and we're all needy. Not one of us is exempt. We often look around and point our finger at this one and that one and the other, and they're really needy. But right here is a needy soul too. Jesus wants to feed this needy soul so this needy soul can somehow, by His grace, be feeding other needy people. Feed my sheep. We have in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 a few little words that just tell us what the Christian life is all about.
2 Corinthians chapter 11. You know, sometimes we hear the question, but what is it to be really a true Christian? What is it? And we can write chapters and we can write books on what it is to be a real Christian. God comes along in about 3 or 4 words and tells you what a real Christian is. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. The last words of that verse, in the English it says, simplicity that is in Christ. That's what a real Christian is. Simplicity that is in Christ. Now, Christ's message was a message in simplicity. It was simple, easy to understand. Now, that word simplicity, as it's translated here in English, is a little... it's translated different in Spanish. And I'm going to use the Spanish translation because I just feel that it's showing it more completely for what it is. In Spanish, it reads, sincere faithfulness to Christ. Sincera fidelidad a Cristo. Sincere faithfulness to Christ. That's what a Christian is. Sincere faithfulness to Christ. And I'd like to use that for the message this morning. Sincere faithfulness to Christ. So many times, we, in trying to deal with issues, we tend to get really complicated in it and giving the direction. How to get through this. And I think it's good for us, just as we're about to look at this message this morning, to just think for a little bit how Christ dealt with issues. How did Christ deal with issues? He dealt with them in a way that wasn't complicated. Just met the need. There was a woman brought to Jesus. There was a woman brought to Jesus by the scribes and Pharisees. And they said, Master, Rabbi, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act. In the law of Moses, we have the command she should be stoned. She needs to die. What do you say? What did Jesus say? He stooped down. He's just with his fingers started writing in the dust. And they kept asking, what do you say? And he stood up and he just looked at him. He said, he that is without sin, let him cast the first stone. And he went back down and started writing in the dust again. You know what? You know what happened? There was just too much light came into that room. There was too much light for those scribes and Pharisees with darkened hearts. And you can just imagine what was going on up here. I'm getting out of here while the getting out's good. I'm not going to stay here. There's too much light here. You know why? Because there was something in here saying, you know the sin you're in. And you're here putting this woman out front. You know what's here. I'm getting out. And they all left. Only the woman and Jesus were there. And Jesus asked the woman, where are your accusers? She said, Lord, none of them are here. He said, neither do I condemn thee. And he could have said, but I'm going to give you a whole list of things here for you to take care, for you to be very, very careful. I know your weakness. You need to do this, you need to do that, you need to do this, you need to do that. And give you 20 things to be careful about. But you know, Jesus didn't complicate the issue. He just said, you go and sin no more. It took care of the 20 things on the list, didn't it? Just go and sin no more. So simple. So complete. Involved everything. Just go and sin no more. Jesus was walking into Bethany and he was received into the house of Martha and Mary. Martha wanted to put on the best meal. She wanted to do all she could for Jesus. She wanted to serve him. But Mary sat down at Jesus' feet. And there Martha was, all worked up and trying to get this meal. And Mary sitting there like someone lazy. Finally, she was upset. She came to Jesus. She said, "Lord, don't you care that I'm doing all this by myself? Tell her to get up and help me." Jesus, in his kindness and compassion, just said, "Martha, Martha, you're careful and troubled about many things, but it's only one thing that's needful. And Mary has chosen the good part. Martha, your devotion is worth more than your service. Always remember it. Your devotion, our devotion to God, to Jesus, is worth more than our service. Simple, but so deep." The list goes on and on. Is it right to give tribute to Caesar or no? Show me the coin. Who's the image? Who's the inscription? Give to Caesar the things that are Caesar and to God the things that are God's. The issue's settled. Simple, but complete. And as we come to this passage in 2 Corinthians 11, the sincere faithfulness to Christ, I see it as very simple, but so complete. Sincere faithfulness to Christ. And really, that covers all the bases right there. Sincere faithfulness to Christ. Everything in life we face, we bring it to Him. We put it before Him, our beloved. Does this please you? Does this please you, Lord? We don't come around and look at, "Hey, how does she do it? How is he doing it? I wonder if I can do that. Look, this one's doing it. That one's doing it." No. Forget that. Sincere faithfulness to Christ is, "Oh, my dear Jesus, is this pleasing you or isn't it pleasing you? And I want to please you more than anything else." That's sincere faithfulness to Christ. We have here three principal points in this little phrase. The first is Christ. The second is faithfulness to Christ. And the third is sincere faithfulness to Christ. We want to look at the first one because the first one is totally, absolutely important and necessary. Without this first one, without Christ, everything else is lost. Everything else is pointless. There's no point in all the rest. But Christ, who is He? This Christ, He's the one you... Yeah, we read about Him, we hear about Him, but who is He? You can turn with me to the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. And we have here a description of why this is the important one. This is the... Colossians chapter 1 verse 15. And notice all that He is. All that He is. That He is, verse 15 through 20... He is the image of the invisible God. He is the firstborn of every creature. By Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are in earth. Visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. And He, Christ, is before all things. And by Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church. Who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, he is the everything. Amen? He is all in all. He is the principal one. He is the object of our faith. He is the author and finisher of our faith. The principal object. If we have our faith in anything or anyone else other than Christ, our faith is misplaced. Sometimes we hear this, that it doesn't really matter what faith you have as long as you have faith. But unless Christ is our faith, unless he is the object of our faith is in vain. He is the only one. He is the first begotten Son of God. First begotten Son. God had another son that he created. He was the created son, Adam. He was the created son. And by Adam we are all sons of God by creation. But here comes Jesus into the world, and he is the only begotten Son. He is the only one that issued from the very being of the Father. And in all of that great mystery of godliness, he always was Christ. He always was. He's the only begotten of the Father, but he always was. Just because he was God. He is God. He was the manifestation of the mystery of godliness. If you want to look that one up in 1 Timothy, well, we'll just look at that. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, where we have these words, that great is the mystery of godliness. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. And here's Jesus. Manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Jesus. He was the one that fulfilled the law. He was the Lamb of God. He's the perfect sacrifice. He's the resurrection and the life. He's the only mediator between man and God, the man Christ Jesus. We won't take time to refer to all these references of Scripture this morning. But this is Jesus. And you take Jesus out of this little phrase in 2 Corinthians 11:3. You take Christ out of that. All you have is an emptiness. But in him is a fullness. And of him have we all received of the fullness if we're in him. Tells us there in Colossians chapter 2. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. We receive of him, of that fullness. Well, we must move on. Let's look at the... And then one more thing yet in relation to Christ, to this great one, this mighty one, this Lamb of God, this one who lived, the only one who lived in flesh and lived the perfect life, and so he had the perfect sacrifice, but that perfect sacrifice had the stamp of God's approval by way of the resurrection. The resurrection verified that this was approved. He was, his life, his sacrifice was all approved, and he offers life to the world. And then we have another revelation further of this one, that in Revelation chapter 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ. Wow, what's that revelation going to be like? Well, victor, Lord of lords, King of kings, ultimate and eternal victory of this Jesus Christ over the devil and all his ugly work. He's not going to be hijacking anything anymore. Because Jesus is victor, the revelation of this victor. Well, book of Revelation... It's a book of Revelation of Jesus Christ. And it's for the inspiration of us, the believers. It's not a book for us to be arguing and coming to odds with and locking horns about. It's a book that should inspire our hearts to worship the Lamb You know what the spirit of prophecy is there in the book of Revelation? The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy, he tells us in Revelation 19. It's the very life of the prophecy. It's in Jesus. When we start seeing Jesus in the book of Revelation like we should see Jesus, it takes on life. We might still not have a good total understanding of it all, but we're ready to receive it like children, aren't we? Amen. And lift up Jesus. Now that's the revelation of Jesus Christ. Move on here. He's the only one that's worthy. Now, this Christ, he's worthy of our faithfulness. And that's the second point in this message, is faithfulness. Christ is principle. The next is the faithfulness to Christ. And he's worthy of our faithfulness. Totally worthy of our faithfulness. You know, we can go about proclaiming our own faithfulness, can't we? We can proclaim something about ourselves. But interestingly, in this context, and in 2 Corinthians 10, 17 and 18, he tells us, he gives us some instruction about what we should be saying about ourselves. He says, "But he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. For he, not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth." And so, let's be careful that we're not proclaiming our own faithfulness, but that we're letting God say about us what he wants to say about us. So when we look into the mirror, that God can show us ourselves like we really are. If I declare my faithfulness and not listen to what God says about me, I'm in trouble. I'm in trouble. Faithfulness to Christ. Faithfulness is a very, very important part of the Christian life. Very important part of the Christian life. And Jesus had some words to say to the church in Smyrna, the church that was going through some really difficult situations and times. And he told them in chapter 2, of verse 10, he said, "Don't fear any of these things that you're going to suffer." He didn't say that I'm going to come down and I'm going to make it so you can live easy and a plush life. No, he said, "Just don't fear them. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you in prison that you may be tried. And ye shall have tribulation 10 days. But my words to you are, be faithful unto death." Just be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Be faithful unto death. That's the words of Jesus for us today. Be faithful unto death. And we may, brothers and sisters, and when we look at what's happening in the world around us, I believe the coming of Jesus is very near at hand. I believe there's things going to be happening within the next short time that may call for us to implore the grace of God. You know, we say we need grace to live. God provides. And we need grace also to die for Him. And He will provide it. And we need to be calling out to God for that grace. To be faithful unto death. There's a crown of life. Faithfulness is so important. Faithfulness. What is faithfulness? Faithfulness is just that. In all of life, whether the sun's shining or whether it's cloudy, whether we have feelings or whether we don't have feelings, just being faithful. You know, sometimes our feelings take us way up. We feel so good. We get on the mountain. Oh, it'd be nice to always stay there. But we don't. We come down. Sometimes we get down in the valley and we feel, I don't know how I... Just be faithful. God's word is always there. It's faithful. God is faithful. He is faithful. And we can always hold to the promises. When we're down there in the valley and we're not sure because our feelings want to take us everywhere, lay hold on the promises. Just be faithful. Faithfulness. I don't think there's anyone whose feelings always are up on the top of the mountain. I think we're all human, and we all have those times when we need to struggle. We deal with things down here. But faithfulness, just stay faithful to God. With feelings or without the feelings. Whether we're around others in the faith or whether we're by ourselves, just faithfulness. Faithfulness. You know, we won't just stay here all the rest of this week together. It'd be maybe a little easier to stay faithful if I had brothers and sisters around us all the time. We don't always have that. No, we're in a world where we're moving among other people, and sometimes we're like by ourselves. But faithfulness to God is just faithful. Whether we're with others or whether we're alone, we're just faithful. Faithfulness. In the church or in the street. In life or in death. Faithful. Faithfulness. What does it signify? Just loyalty to Christ. Loyalty. That's what faithfulness is. But then he says, and it's the last point we want to use this morning, but it's such an important one. He says, sincere faithfulness to Christ. Isn't just faithfulness enough? Oh, we have the list of rules. We'll just abide by all these. We're faithful. But he gets to moving deeper into the heart. And he says, this faithfulness to Christ must be a sincere faithfulness. Now, the thing that's so striking to me, that so impresses my heart, is what this sincere really means. In Spanish it says sincera fidelidad a Cristo. And that word sincera is the same one that we use in English, sincere. You catch the closeness of it. Sincere, sincera. But what does it mean? I'm going to illustrate what this word sincera means. Sincere. I have here a cup. And it's a beautiful cup. It's a piece of pottery. Okay? Years back, the pottery was used in normal living. They knew what it was about. When this scripture was written, and it speaks about the sincere or the sincere faithfulness to Christ, right away their minds went to something. Oh, sincere. The potter worked hard. He labored hard on his wheel, forming this piece of pottery. And finally, he wanted to make one of the that was just beautiful, just perfect. And it looked so good. After he was all finished and the hard labor was over, he set it in a place out of the sun but in the air where it could dry slowly, carefully, that there wouldn't be anything bad happening to it. And when he was all finished, and when it sat there for the right amount of time, I don't know what length of time, whether it was days or weeks or a month or whatever, he'd take this piece of pottery and he looked it over. And then he held it up to the sunlight. And if it was all black in there, it sealed good. He had a very good piece of pottery to sell. But here he has one that's very, very beautiful. But he holds it up and, oh, he sees a little ray of sunlight shining through. There's a little crack. Looking at it from the outside, you couldn't even tell it. But here on the inside, he sees that little teeny bit of light shining through it. What do I do now? It's my living. I want to sell this. It bring a good price. I go get me some wax. So he gets wax. Cera. Cera. That's the way wax is called in Spanish. It's cera. We call it cera. But the original, when the Greek was written, cera. And he took that wax and he plastered it and he worked it and he worked it and he worked it in. Into the crack. Into the little teeny weeny crack. He worked it in. Finally, he put it up to the light. Oh, good. You can't see it. Ah, I'll set it out. We'll sell it. Here comes the buyer. Looking for a beautiful, good mug. He wants his drink of hot, whatever he drank. How much you want for it? Well, you know, I spent a lot of time at that. It's very expensive. Yeah, but what do you want? I want a good cup. Okay. So he sets his price. The buyer buys it. He takes it home. Hey, dear, you see this? Isn't that beautiful? Fix me a good cup of hot coffee. I'm ready to drink something from this. So he pours the good hot water in, and it looks good. It's sitting here. But after a bit, he notices just a little damp spot on the table. What's this? I've been deceived. Leaked just a little bit. The next time I'll know better. So the next time he comes back to buy a piece of pottery, he sees the good, beautiful piece of pottery, and his question to the potter is, and is this without wax? Is it sincera? Is it sincera? And so God brings the message right down to you and my life. He says Christ is the object of faith and the object of faithfulness. But I want a faithfulness that is without wax. Every one of us have lives that have gone through difficult things. We've gone through experiences that sometimes tear us up from the inside. We go through experiences that we feel like we almost have a right to feel at odds with someone else. There's a crack. There's a crack. It may be another area of life related to the lust of the flesh. It may be an area related to the lust of the eye. It may be an area related to the pride of life. But there's a crack. What are we going to do with the crack? God wants the faithfulness to Christ that is without wax. We tend to wax it over. I know this isn't what it ought to be, but I know everybody does it. But I'm going to get something. I'm going to do this, or I'm going to do that, or I'm going to... And we have a list of things that we might try to wax over the crack. But remember, God knows it's there. Jesus knows it's there. And He's calling down, and He's saying, my child, I don't want you to wax the cracks in your heart. I have a remedy for them. If you repent, simply call it by its name. You know what its name is? I don't want to admit that. I'm not that bad. But its name is sin. And if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The old wax is gone. There's the blood of Jesus that just seals it all up rightly. Sincera fidelidad a Cristo. Without wax, your faithfulness to Christ. Don't just try to walk the right way. Live with a right heart before God. With a heart that's cleansed by the blood. The Lamb of God. The blood of Jesus. Sincere is saying,
a sound cup. We can apply that to the heart. A sound heart. A sound heart. A without waxed heart kind of faithfulness to Christ. What kind of faithfulness do we have? What is our faithfulness? Looking over this group this morning, I believe every one says, I want to be faithful. Don't we? I want to be faithful. And we do. But God's saying, I want your faithfulness to be without any wax there. Without any wax there. Just total openness. Total brokenness. You know, that heart that's without wax is that heart that loves Jesus and gives God the opportunity to do whatever He needs to do to bring us through to glory. Whatever it takes, Lord, do it to bring you through to glory. That's that unwaxed heart. That faithfulness that's without wax. That total openness. And I just want to encourage each one this morning. If there's cracks in your heart, remember this. God can take care of them. He's the only one that can. And you're the only one that can say, yes, God, go ahead and do it. Let go and let God. Quit trying and let God do it. You know what happens when we do that? Jesus Christ becomes our first love. Jesus Christ becomes our everything. And we don't try to establish a basis of faithfulness on what other people are doing. We seek to please God. And I just want to encourage each one. Let's please God. Let's have that sincere faithfulness to Christ that pleases God. And God bless you. And let's keep praying for each other, brothers and sisters. We need your prayers so much. Where we're living, walking in Bolivia. I know we all need each other's prayers. We all need God. I just want to encourage you to a sincere faithfulness to Christ. And God bless you, Rich.
Thank you, Brother Ed, for sharing that. That was a good challenge, good encouragement. Appreciate that a lot. You know, I don't have a lot to share, but I would just say this, that, you know, I shared with you how in 1991, my wife and I took the courage to go to the pastor of the church we were attending and said, we have a problem. And, you know, before that, I could tell many a stories of where I was waxing my cup to my shame. And I would just like to say this morning, you know, in a group this size, there's probably some wax on our cups. And I'd just like to give encouragement to any of you that could be dealing with wax on your cup that you know that it's there. Talk to someone. Take the courage. I'm sure Brother Nathan, Brother Carl, myself, James, any one of us here would be happy to talk to anyone that knows that they're dealing with wax. We don't have to deal with that shame of knowing there's a cracked cup there that's covered over. May you take courage to do that. Thank you, Brother Ed, for those words to us this morning. Appreciate it a lot. Okay, we'll take a few minutes. Is there anyone that has anything to share, to add, testimony, confession, anything they'd like to share? Raise your hand. We'll get a mic to you. Ian?
I was challenged greatly today. I see an entire picture in all the messages that were shared. First off, with Brother Carl and Nathan, what they shared about with their trip to Bolivia, and then Mark's children's lesson, and then what Victor shared, and this final message by Ed. I had to think as we were singing the song, "When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound." And the last verse says, "Let us labor for the Master from the dawn till setting sun. Let us talk of all His wondrous love and care." And I had to think, do we just talk about it, or do we actually put it to action? Do we look in the mirror, as Mark said, and see something that needs fixed, but we don't fix it? Do we wax our cup over and just talk about it, rather than sincerely going out and doing as He has commanded us to do, and actually prepare for the coming of the Lord? I was just greatly challenged by that, and would like to encourage us all to not just wax our cups over. Thank you, Ed, for the message, and God bless you.
Over here, Carl.
Yeah, praise the Lord this morning. That was a powerful word we heard. If Brother Ted was here, I know he would say it doesn't get any better than this.
Yes.
We heard the gospel in its simplicity this morning.
Amen.
And I had to think of the words of Jesus there in Matthew 16, where He asked Peter, "Peter, whom do you say that I am?" And I really think that's the question that should come to every one of our hearts this morning as we've listened to this so clearly in its simplicity. Have I confessed Jesus, the Christ, the King, the only one who's worthy of my sincere faithfulness?
Amen.
And am I living out of loyalty, faithfulness, loyalty to Him? And is it without wax? It
Amen.
Doesn't get any more complicated than that. That is
That's
the
right.
answer. And if our hearts are there, everything else is going to fall into place.
Amen.
Just praise God.
Amen.
I want to say amen, too. It was really, really good to just be reminded the simplicity that is in Christ. Einfalt in Christo, it says in German. Singleness, just having our focus on Him and just get back to the basics, so to speak. And it's beautiful. I don't have a lot to add, but, you know, one of the tragedies in human life is we tend not to learn from tragedies. We tend to think it won't happen to me. And I was just thinking about, first off, I want to remind us that sin takes us down. And the temptation is to think, well, it won't be. My little sin doesn't hurt anybody and I'll get away with it. I've gotten away with it so far. Then along with that, my mind went to the condominium in Florida that went down. It probably looked just fine from the outside, just like all the other ones stacked up on the beach. There were some that knew that there was insincerity in the foundation. There was cracks, and it didn't work to ignore it. One day, one night, down it went.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a great tragedy. Over 100 people lost their life. And now, all the other condominium owners and residents there are saying, what about mine? What about mine? Is mine okay? What's the foundation like underneath me? And that's a great lesson for us in life. There's plenty of tragedies in the spiritual sense of people that have lost their way and made shipwreck and very sad, just things that people get destroyed because of sin in their life. Can we look around and learn our lessons, not learning the hard way when it's too late, like those people sleeping in that condo that night, but like the rest there that are now saying, what about mine? And just, I want to do that in my own life.
Amen.
Just allow this to penetrate and to just say, what, Lord? Purify me further. Thank you.
Amen.
I was just blessed with the translation of that faithfulness to Spanish means fidelidad, which has to do with fidelity, which is translated as the relationship that we have as husband and wife. the loyalty. So I was just blessed by that. Thank you, Brother Ed, for that word.
Front here to James.
Yeah, I was richly blessed here this morning and challenged. But one thought that Brother Ed shared that stood out to me, he said that our devotion is worth more than our service. And then I think that's really profound. You know, if we're devoted, we're going to serve. But at the core, are we truly devoted to Christ? And are we serving because we're devoted to Christ? Or are we motivated by something else? You know, what is our motivation for serving? Is it something else? Or is it all about Christ? And thank you, brother, for that message. I appreciate that. God bless.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at effortofministries.org. Call us toll-free at 855-557-7902 or write to us at Effort of Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Ephrata, Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.